everyone. Welcome to In Your Element from Tetramap, where our focus is on developing people and business the way nature intended. Our guests will be sharing their expertise on what it's like when you're working in your element and working in a great team where people value each other's differences. I'm Louise Duncan, your host, and look forward to sharing this with you in the coming weeks. Well, hello again, listeners, and welcome to the Tetramap in Your Element podcast. Today's guest is Nikki Davey, and Nikki Davey is one of our master Tetramap facilitators based in the UK. Nikki runs an organisation called Thoughtbox Training and Events, and really her goal there is to help people perform better, achieve more, be happier and healthier, and through that she draws inspiration from nature, creative arts, holistic and spiritual practices, and what she does there is create powerful, memorable and transformative learning experiences. And we'll hear a little bit more about those as we talk to Nikki. She's also been recently holding a role at Oxfam for maternity cover, where she was head of leadership development and has learned a lot there about working in such a large organization. I think what's interesting about Nikki is how much she loves being in nature and believes that a connection to nature is essential to our well-being, creativity and outlook as individuals and as communities as a whole. And I think finally, in my introduction, I'd like to talk about Nikki's love of music. I know she's in a band. She plays blues, gospel and this kind of stuff. And she's just a wonderful asset to have in our Tetramap community. So I'd like to say a huge warm welcome to you, Nikki. And we're really excited to hear from you today.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
Nikki, I started off by talking in my introduction about your love of nature. So I'm going to ask you that question first. I wonder if you could tell me something about nature that's particularly important to you and how you see it relates to us as humans.
Well, I think the key thing really is that we are nature. And I think most people in today's society have kind of forgotten that, detached from that. And, you know, we are nature. There's this, you know, some people might be familiar with the term biophilia, which is this kind of deep, innate sense of affinity that we have with nature. And it's because we've evolved to be part of, you know, we are nature and we've evolved to connect with it, to be able to understand it, to feel good when we're in it, to, you know, there's a whole load of things there. So so I think, you know, nature is part of who we are. And, you know, apart from the fact that there's a vast quantity of kind of scientific research that proves that, you know, when we're connected with nature, we're more creative, we're happier, we're healthier, we solve problems better, we have better, we're more likely to feel goodwill towards other people. You know, there's a whole load of benefits to being connected with nature. But ultimately, I think for me, it's just about not losing sight that ultimately we're animals, you know, and we need to reconnect with that kind of instinctive, primal, intuitive kind of side of ourselves. And that's what I try to bring to a lot of my work as well, is helping people to do that, which is why I do a lot of work, which is learning, not only learning in nature, but learning with nature and learning from nature. So I think it's fundamental. And I think if we're going to improve society, improve communities, improve politics, improve leadership, whatever it is, improve the state of the planet, we have to reconnect with that. I think it's fundamentally important.
Thank you. Thank you, Nikki, for that powerful explanation of it. And it just helps people, I think, have a sense of calm as much as anything else, which we don't get in today's world where it all seems to be rush, rush, rush.
Yeah. I mean, there is that definitely. But there's also, I do quite a lot of work, which is about, you know, I've created, besides using Tetramap, which I'm sure we'll come on and talk about in a minute, I do lots of work which is, you know, often in organizations they're not in a position, they're in the middle of the city or something, they're not in a position to be able to go outside and learn in nature. So a lot of the work I do is think about how can we bring nature into the training room, and some of that might just be using items from nature as props or as tools, or using models from nature to as metaphors to explore different processes and helping people to understand them. Or, you know, quite often I'll do things like, rather than writing things on slips of paper, we'll get evergreen leaves and write them on there, and I've set up a branch to look like a tree in the training room and people can hang things on it, you know. So there are lots of ways that you can connect people with nature, even if you can't actually get out into it. But obviously getting out into it is always preferable in my view.
Those are great tips. Thanks, Nick. So let's hear a little bit more about you. When you're in your element, what are you doing, thinking or feeling?
One of the key things is obviously being in nature. And certainly when I'm out walking in nature, that's when I can allow ideas to flow. So, and I get real inspiration. So if I'm trying to, you know, create a new training course or solve a particular problem or, you know, come up with a creative new way of doing something, I always know, and I'm lucky enough because I'm self-employed and I work from home and I live in a beautiful area with lots of nature on the doorstep, my sort of default is to go out and walk the dog. And I know if I go out for an hour with the dog up onto the Mendip Hills, back through the woods, back home, by the time I get home, I've solved the problem, I've created the activity, I've had a flash of inspiration, you know. And so that's one of the things. But also I'm really in my element when I'm facilitating other people to do that. And I get huge amounts of joy from, you know, taking people out into nature, getting them learning either through being in nature, but also through a lot of creative activities, or preferably all at the same time, you know, creative activities in nature. And then the other thing where I'm really in my element, which is kind of outside of work, you talked about music, singing, and, you know, making music to me is such a powerful, again, a kind of innate sort of primal thing that we have within us that a lot of people have lost or lost touch with. You know, people say, oh, I can't sing, when actually everybody can sing, you know, but people think they can't. We've somehow got all this complicated stuff wrapped up around singing, about being good enough, when actually if you have a voice, you can sing. And but I love, you know, just getting together with friends. Most of my friends are musicians, getting together, having a jam, playing music. And when you play music with people or sing with people, you kind of all get onto the same vibrational wavelength together. So you really kind of connect with each other on a deeper level. So that's where I get my resilience. When times are really tough, I know if I can go and play with my band or rehearse with my band or get together with friends and sing some songs, it energizes me, it nourishes me, it makes me strong, you know. So definitely making music as well. Lots of other things I like to do, but they're my main things for being in my
And Nikki, you just mentioned to me before we started the recording that you developed a song as you were just about to finish your contract at Oxfam, and you sang a song for the people you've worked with there, and I would imagine you went out with a little bit of energy and excitement for them too.
Yes, out with a flourish, or maybe I'm just an attention seeker, who knows. But it was a way to be honest, it was interesting because it was a way that enabled me to say things that I wanted to say about how deeply you know, they'd affected me, how much I'd enjoyed working with them, how much I loved them. You know, in the song, I sort of built in stuff about some of the sort of funny little things that had happened. And, you know, but it was just a really nice way of connecting, and they loved it.
All right, Nikki. Well, we should mention your connection with TetraMap, I think, at this point. So can you tell our listeners how you discovered TetraMap and what it means to you and your work? Just briefly.
Yeah. So I set up Saltbox training and events about 11. Yeah, it is just over 11 years ago now. And I knew that I wanted to have a kind of tool, profiling tool or similar that I could use in my work. And I was familiar with Myers-Briggs and DISC, and I didn't really like any of them. And I was kind of looking for something that really resonated for me. And I sort of pretty much decided that I was going to use Insights Discovery because it uses color, so I kind of thought that's a better fit, but it still didn't feel quite right. And then I went to the World of Learning exhibition, which is a big in the UK, a big kind of exhibition of training and learning providers and things. And Anne from Anne Clues from TetraMap UK, or was then at TetraMap UK, had a stand there. And I went and had a play with it, and it was just kind of like, hallelujah, finally found what I'm looking for. Everything about it resonated. The imagery, the three-dimensionalness, the nature metaphor, the fact that it was very simple. I like simple. I like stuff that's simple and intuitive. The fact that it was very visual, the tetrahedron itself, the three-dimensional nature of it. Everything. I just felt, yes, this is the one. This is what I need, and it's a good fit for how I work and my values and my approach with what I do. So I qualified to become a facilitator, and that must be I think about 9 or 10 years ago. Can't remember. Mm-hmm. And then obviously started using it extensively. Started running lots of kind of free taster workshops and promoting it to my clients and using it with clients. And then had the opportunity to train as a master facilitator, and that was a few years ago now. I can't actually remember how long. And so since then, I've been, sharing TetraMap with others, introducing other facilitators, training other facilitators, and that has just been such a joy and a pleasure. I've loved the magic that happens when, you engage people with TetraMap, and particularly people who've maybe seen it or used it as a participant, but then when they become a facilitator and a whole kind of world of other uses, other ways of applying it, opens up to people. Yeah, so that's been my kind of journey so far.
Now,
really.
How would you say that it's added value to your work in terms of when you're running, let's say, a leadership workshop?
Oh, God. Well, interestingly, I would say all of the leadership programs that I have run that incorporate or are built around TetraMap are way, way better than the ones that don't, for a start. And I think because it's applicable to so much. So I think for a lot of tools, it's kind of a profiling tool. So people can go, oh, well, I'm like that, you're like that. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, I need to treat you differently. And that's kind of can sometimes be the kind of extent that people, the furthest extent that people get to with it. Whereas I think certainly the way that I use it in leadership development, we use it for exploring our kind of leadership challenges. We do a lot of work. I do quite a lot of embodied work about how you can, flex the different elements which maybe are weaker when you need to, by, embodying, moving, sitting, standing like the elements, using kind of elemental language to yourself to get you more into the state that you need to be in. Or quite a lot of work looking at things like leading in a VUCA environment, which I'm sure a lot of listeners will be familiar with, the kind of volatile, uncertain, complex and ambiguous environment, and using the four elements to help people to understand what people need in those different things, whether it's volatile, ambiguous, whatever, is what each of the elements kind of brings different things to that. And so we can explore that and use it as a plan, as a strategic planning tool. I get people telling stories about themselves as leaders, but we use TetraMap as a framework, or the four elements as a kind of framework to help them to create that story. It just has such a wide range of applications, and you can embed it all the way through the leadership, whether it's the self-awareness piece, which obviously is really helpful for that, whether it's looking at self-management, self-care, resilience, and using the elements to understand, what makes me stressed, what I need to do to improve my resilience, using it to think about how you lead others, influence, motivate, communicate with others, using it to help people understand the more strategic leading organization. You know, there's so much. So it's not just a profiling tool. And I think for me, that's the power of it, really.
Right. Thank you, Nikki. That's an amazing accolade. Really appreciate that. I do think that's the value of it, though, in terms of once you understand the four elements, and as you say, people do understand the four elements naturally, you can then apply it to any context, and that gives you that problem-solving framework in which to identify things. And that's probably what I think people like you who've come to use it in a variety of different contexts see the value. So one thing I wanted to ask you was, I'm always very interested in asking our facilitators if they have a favourite quote or a reading that they would like to share with other listeners. And we've had some fabulous ones. So I don't know if you had a chance, Nikki, to think of one.
Well, the problem is I've got so many of them. It was narrowing it down, really. But I sort of ended up settling on something which is... it's kind of a quote, and it's also a short reading from a book. So one of my favorite books, and I've got it here in front of me, actually, looking at it now, is a book called The Nature of Leadership. And it's by Stephen Covey, who many listeners will be very familiar with, in conjunction with somebody called Roger Merrill and Jewett Jones. And one of those is a photographer. And the book itself is all about leadership, but it's full of beautiful photographs, and it's full of stories, quotes, poems, people just talking about their experiences, and it's all based around nature and learning from nature and learning leadership lessons from nature. And there's a lot of it is based around, it's all about nature as teacher, really, but the stories and the experiences and so on that are in this book are from people who took part in a program that they ran have been running for many years. They've been running leadership events at the Sundance Ranch, which is Robert Redford's place where he holds the Sundance Film Festival, which is in the Rocky Mountains. And I mean, I was lucky enough to go out to Colorado and work a couple of years ago and spent some time in the Rocky Mountains using TetraMap with people. And it was just amazing, really powerful energy there and really special. But anyway, they base their work around what they now call the Sundance Promise. And it says, so I'm going to read the Sundance Promise to you because this is kind of very much underpins a lot of the work that I do as well. So it says, if you will open yourself to the natural environment, the people around you, and timeless principles, you will find personal and specific answers to the leadership challenges and opportunities that you face. So for me, that's obviously underpinning the work that they've been doing leadership work in nature, but also I find it's very inspiring and it kind of underpins a lot of the work that I do. But I just think it's a really important message for people to hear.
Thank you, Nikki. That's wonderful. Well, what I'd appreciate it if you would send me the Sundance Promise and the title and authors of the book so that I can put it in the show notes for anybody else who wants to look. Thank you for sharing that.
I will do.
Well, Nikki, what I'd like to start to wrap up with is really talking about this conference that you're planning in May. And it's called Leading for a Better World. Is that the correct title?
It is.
Leading for a Better World.
Yeah.
So I just wondered if you could generally tell us about what prompted your interest in this area and what you've decided to do, and then tell us about, you know, the conference and how people can find out more.
Yeah. So the conference itself is taking place on the 22nd of May at the Eden Project, which again, people listening in the UK will be very familiar with. I've been doing some work. I had done some work and ran one of the TetraMap certification programs down at the Eden Project, and I've been doing some work with Eden, and they've got a couple of facilitators down there now as well. But I'd been talking to them about potentially running some kind of joint collaborative event about, you know, leadership for sustainability or a better world, leadership for the planet or something like that for a while. And it kind of got put on a back burner because I was as you mentioned earlier, working at Oxfam for some time, covering a maternity leave role there. So, but then we found out that John and Yoshimi, founders of Tetramap, were coming over to the UK in May. So that felt like the perfect opportunity to revisit doing this event and getting them to be involved in some way as speakers. So that was kind of going on the one hand. And then on the other hand, I had started to sort of pull together a group. I meet lots of people who are also trainers, consultants, people working in the leadership field. And there are a number of us that in the Southwest, which is where I'm based, who are in some way working on leadership with a focus on either sustainability or on compassion or mindfulness, or, you know, but people who are either bringing some kind of focus on improving the state of the planet and improving things for humanity in some way, mm-hmm. or who are focusing on leading, you know, shifting what leadership, you know, people think leadership is all about, much more focusing on that compassion, joy, listening, caring, you know, shifting how we do leadership, really. And so I'd already talked to a number of those and said, do you fancy getting together as a group to see if we can kind of have more impact? You know, we're doing what we're doing. My mission really is about trying to do my bit to create a better world through my sphere of influence, which is about helping people be better leaders mainly. So I thought if we come together, we can just have more impact, you know, than mm-hmm. off in our own little boxes doing our own little things. So I brought this group together and we called it the Leading with Love group. So it's a group of people and we call it Leading with Love. And then that combined with the John and Yoshimi coming over, it felt like an ideal time to do this conference and to involve the people in that group in helping to shape it as well, because a lot of them are also Tetramap facilitators. So the event itself is, we're still in the planning stages in terms of the fine detail, but we've got some amazing speakers. So we've got John and Yoshimi, obviously, coming over from New Zealand, which I'm very, very excited about, and they'll be speaking at it. We've also got a guy called Mac McCartney, who is just a fantastic speaker, change maker. He's done lots of leadership work in good big corporates to try and help them to reconnect with, you know, their sort of intuitive, natural side. He does a lot of work around sustainability and brings a lot of spirituality into what he does. But he's a fantastic international speaker and leader in the field. And we also, the other main speaker that we've also got booked is a woman called Safia Mini, who set up a company called People Tree, which sells ethical clothes. When it was kind of, that was still quite a new and innovative thing to do, really. So ethically sourced clothing. And she's not running that now, but she's doing consultancy on, again, leadership for sustainability, leadership for a better planet. So she's going to be speaking as well. And then we've got Resurgence Magazine, or they're now Resurgence and Ecologist Magazine, which is a British magazine, which is really the kind of leading publication in the UK for environmental, ecological sort of, stuff. I'm trying to think of stuff as a very good word, but I can't think of a better one at the moment. And they're on board with it and they're helping to promote it and advertise it and so on. And they're going to be quite heavily involved in the event as well itself. So it feels like, for me, it's very much a collaborative thing. Let's bring together lots of people who are trying to make a really positive difference in the world. And by bringing people together, let's, you know, amplify yeah. the message, create better change. Maybe it's the beginning of creating a bit more of a movement. Who knows? But I very much see it as this is the start of something, but it definitely won't be the end. So,
well, it sounds magical, yes. Nikki. What a magical venue, the Eden Project. And what a great collaboration from your range of speakers. So if people are interested, where can they find out more? You know, who are the people that you hope to have attend this conference, Nikki?
Okay, so we hope that we will have people who are running businesses who want to change the way they lead so that they can be more ethical and have more of an impact, again, on both people and the planet, whether it's humanity, social justice, environmental issues, whatever. So people who want to maybe want to run their companies differently in order to have that impact, we want people to come who may be consultants, trainers, again, leadership development specialists who, again, want to kind of get on board, really, get on board the train towards making a difference through a different type of leadership, and who are really open to what they can learn, what they can share, and what they can bring as well. And we are hoping that we will get people who are perhaps already very much on board with the kind of wanting to make a positive difference in the world, but maybe want to look at a bit more at leadership and how leadership can play a role in that.
Fantastic. Well, that sounds a pretty broad appeal, Nikki. And I'm sure that anybody that attends that event will take away some fantastic outcomes. So really excited to learn more and hear the progress on it. So I'll make sure all that information is included in the podcast show notes so that anybody can easily get to your website and find out more. And so finally, Nikki, as a wrap up, is there anything that you'd perhaps like to leave as a gift for our learners with your experience in developing great teams and great leaders? Just something really simple that people can have as a takeaway.
There's a free handout, actually downloadable. Well, there are lots of free handouts and resources on my website, but one in particular, which is about using nature to help people learn. And it's got lots of kind of practical ideas about not just about getting out into nature, but how you can bring nature into the training room, how you can facilitate using lessons and ideas from nature, and how you can kind of help learners or participants to connect with nature in order to connect with themselves. I think for me, that's the thing. When we connect with nature, we can connect with ourselves and with others in such a much more deep and powerful way. So that would be my kind of my message. And if people want practical tips to help them do that, then they can go to the course page on my website, and there's lots of information there.
Well, Nikki, I know you, that's a very generous gift to leave with people. And I know that's one of your key attributes, your generosity in helping people gain value from the things that you've learned. So I'll put a link to that and people can download that resource. So that just about ends our time together today, Nikki. I'd like to say thank you so much for your energy, enthusiasm, commitment, and ongoing desire to make the world a better place for others. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Nice to talk to you, Nikki. Bye-bye.
Bye.